Amen. Well, thank you, Jesus, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. He found us when we were lost, put us out of the miry clay of sin, right? Cleansed us, washed us by his precious blood. Praise the Lord. Gave us a new nature. Gave us a one ticket to heaven that we would spend with him eternity. Amen. I'm thankful. Praise the Lord. And I know you're thankful tonight. Well, God bless you for being here tonight. Amen. Tonight, I'm excited to hear what the Lord is doing and in your lives. And I know the Lord is doing great things in our lives as a church. But tonight is a night of thanksgiving, of testimonies. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, last Sunday we talked about how that the power of gratitude, of being thankful, can also mean to be appreciative, to be grateful, or to be obliged, or to be in debt to someone, right? We talked about how Jesus paid a debt that we could not pay, right? But we owe a debt that we couldn't pay, right? But he paid it for us. That word gratitude means to be pleased or to be beholding. And gratitude or thankfulness doesn't deny anything. It's simply a choice that we make by looking for the blessings and the good in whatever we go through. Amen. And tonight, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, reading from the NIV, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The NLT says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you, for you who belong to Christ Jesus." So he's talking to the church. He's talking to you as a child of God, right? The Amplified says, "In every situation, no matter what the circumstance, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Amen. And how many of you know that when you're thankful and grateful, how many of you know it's hard to be angry? It's hard to be bitter, right? It's hard to be unforgiving and ungrateful. I love this one, and I think everybody knows this one, Psalms 100, verses 3 to 5. I'm reading from the King James. It says, Know that God, He is God. It is He who made us and not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gate with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever, and his faithfulness is to all generations. Amen. So I was thinking about this, you know, enter his gates, right? So how many of you, you know, you just came into the entry of our church, right? There's a gate there, yeah? So you have to come through that gate, right? So what he's saying is when you come into the gate of God's kingdom, right, we enter into his front gate with thanksgiving. So now when you enter the front gate, when you come to church, you enter with thanksgiving. Right? That's what he's saying, right? And then when you pass the front gate, you enter his courts, right? Now his throne is in his courts, right? So you enter into his court, right, with what? With praise, right? So you're upping the ante, right? You enter his courts with praise and be thankful to him. Listen to the Message translation. It says, "On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter," or we could say bring a gift of joy, right? You never come into his presence sad, right? You bring a gift of joy, right? Sing yourselves into his presence. Yeah. God loves when you sing yourself into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God, he made us. So he's saying, hey, I'm God. I'm the one that made you, right? He made us. We did not make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Verse 4, enter with the password, thank you. Make yourself at home, talking praises, thank him, worship him. Isn't that powerful? Thank you, right? Our grandson, KK, he started to talk now. Took a while, but, you know, he's talking. And now he always says, when you give him something, he'll say, thank you, Papa. Thank you. Or he'll say, thank you, Baba. You know, automatic, just like that. So God says, my password is thank you. So think about what the psalmist just said. He said, offering thanksgiving or your thank yous or praises opens the windows and the doors to all the Lord has done, is doing, and will do. Amen. Just by saying, thank you, Lord. And listen, the password not only gives you and I access just on Thanksgiving Day, but every other day of the year. Like we said Sunday, you know, God's not forcing us to give him thanksgiving or praise. You know, he doesn't force us. But when we do it out of our own free will, it pleases him, right? It pleases him. It shows us that we honor him and that we delight in him. Praise the Lord. So tell the person next to you, I've got God's password. Yeah. You ever went on an app and it says, did you forget your password? And you're trying to think all the different passwords that you have on different apps, right? I know some of you have lists of passwords, right? And that you don't have that password, you don't have access to that app, right? But we have the password into God's presence, right? Enter with the password, thank you. And make yourself at home, talking praises, thanking him, and worshiping him. Now, let me say this, and then I'll turn it over. Reuben will be the one passing the mics. I'll say something, and your response is, his faithful love endures forever. Okay? Let's repeat that. His faithful love endures forever. Okay? So you respond when I say something. Give thanks to the Lord for his good. Give thanks to a God. Give thanks to the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Give thanks to him alone who does mighty miracles. Give thanks to him who makes the heavens so skillfully. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. He remembers and strengthens us in our weaknesses. Give thanks to the God of the heavens. Oh, somebody give the Lord a shout. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Ruben, here we go. Okay, here we go. All right. Well, tonight is testimony night, so Thanksgiving, right? Tomorrow is we celebrate Thanksgiving, so we want to honor the Lord tonight and giving him thanks and praise for all that he has done, is doing, and continue to do in our lives. Praise the Lord. And we want to honor him with our thanksgiving and acknowledge him tonight. So, James. Yeah.
You got to come up here too, you. Come on. Well, you know, I was thinking, yeah, today especially, like, because I knew this was going to happen. Of what I could give God thanks for, you know, what am I grateful for, you know? And as I was sitting here, Pastor was talking, I was thinking about just this past year, and like, man, there's so much to be grateful for that I think I would probably take up the whole half an hour we have to talk. And I'm reminded of last week's message when I got an opportunity to speak, that song, He Will Make a Way. And this whole year, he's just done nothing but make a way. You know what I mean? Now that I sit back and I just think about all the things God did along the way. And I had on scripture I was going to use when I was going to minister last week, and I wasn't able to use it, and now I know why, because I was going to use the scripture tonight. And I'll read it for you guys. And it's found in Isaiah. Isaiah 65, 24, I believe. You don't have to turn there. I'll just tell you what it says. And this, man, I think this is going to be my next favorite scripture. And in Isaiah 65, 24, it says, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. Brah. And you know what? That's what it felt like the whole year for us. And we're not done yet, you know? And I got to say this, in spite of me, God has blessed us. And and for that, I am grateful.
Amen.
You had something. Boys, what are you grateful for?
God.
What are you grateful for?
You guys.
Just want to say, first of all, we got blessed with two turkeys, so we got to sow one to someone, so that's a blessing. And I shared in my when I ministered how we've been living up country for about 20, 25, 30 years, and it was my desire to get our garage turned into a rental, and we're finally doing it. And it's a grace of God. It's something that that word that Pastor gave was a timely word that your best days are ahead of you. And I literally took it, wrote it down, and it's coming to pass. So I just want to say, God, we glorify you, we magnify you.
I have a testimony about my car. My car, I'm going to try to give you the short version of this, but it's pretty cool how God worked. It's a 2015 Kia Optima, which now has a brand new engine in it and was paid for by the dealer. Yeah, it is awesome. And it was a process, let me tell you. I'm just going to try to condense this testimony, but this was back probably in March. My car just started acting funny. And so I took it to the dealer, and I tried to explain what was going on. And they checked it out, and they said, your car is down 2 quarts of oil. When was the last time you did an oil change? And they know that Ruben does the oil changes. I said, well, he just did one not too long ago, a couple weeks ago. So they said, well, we're going to do an oil change because it's down, like kind of insinuating that he didn't do the oil change right. I was like, okay, just do the oil change. So they did the oil change. And then bring it back, and we'll check it in a couple weeks. So we brought it back again, and it was down like a quart and a half of oil. Hmm. It wasn't leaking.
Right.
It wasn't burning it. The oil was just like disappearing in my car. So they told me that we had to do this three-part test, a compression test. It was going to take 3 parts. And he said, well, the good news is you're the original owner, so it'll be covered by warranty. So I was like, praise God. So I brought it in and did that part. And then I was scheduled to bring it in on a Friday and to do the second part. And in the meantime, he calls me and he said, Kia wants all the records of your oil changes.
That's for 5 years.
And I was like, you know, we do the oil changes at home, and I'm thinking, where are the receipts? You know, did I throw them away? Where? So, of course, I'm looking for the receipts. Well, I don't have all the receipts. I just don't. I don't have all the receipts. And I said, well, what happens if I don't have the receipts? Well, they're probably not going to cover it. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this one. So I kind of put together the receipts that I had, which was some, and I kind of made up a timeline of when we would have done the oil changes and the mileage, an estimated mileage thing. You know, I just put together what I could put together. I was like, well, this is what I believe we did, you know. So I bring it in on a Friday, and he says, I don't know why he had you bring it in on a Friday. Did he tell you that you had to leave your car? And I said, no. And he says, yeah, you got to leave your car. And he says, you can't drive your car anymore. I was like, at all? He says, no. He said, because it needs a new engine. You need a new engine, and Kia's definitely not going to cover it if you continue to drive it, and we still don't know if Kia's even going to cover it. So here I drop my car off, and I'm like, surprise, you don't have a car. It's like, well, how long is this going to take? Oh, this could be 6 to 8 weeks. I'm like, 6 to 8 weeks? I work up country. Like, how am I supposed to get to work? How am I supposed to do this? So here I am, dropping my car off, 6 to 8 weeks, you know, we'll talk to you later type of thing, and we'll submit the paperwork and see what happens. And I was like, okay, Lord. So there's a couple things I stood on. One is my car was paid for. And I said, devil, that's my car. It's my car. I own it. Nobody owns this, but I own it. So get your hands off of it. I rebuke the devourer. I claim I'm a tither, and you're not getting your hands on this. And I said, Lord, I like my car. I mean, I really like my car. I don't want a new car. I don't want the payment, number one, but I don't want a new car. I like my car. So I said, Lord, I want my car back. I want my car. So, you know, I took it to the Lord. I told the devil what he could do and just trusted God. And then, okay, so here I am, 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, working up country with no car. So I'm like, okay, I can rent a car. I'm thinking I could get a Turo. Well, my boss says to me, well, I'm going out of town for 2 weeks. You can use my car for the 2 weeks that we're gone. Okay, there's 2 weeks. She came back. Well, one of our cars isn't being used, one of the company cars, because the driver was sick. You can use the car until we need the car. So that was the black car you guys saw me driving. I know Julio saw me in it. I was like, thank you, Lord. Okay, so remember they told me 6 to 8 weeks. So somewhere in the process of that 2 weeks, they said, well, they're going to cover it. But, you know, it's come, the engine's got to come from L.A. and blah, blah, blah. So 2 weeks I had my boss's car, a week I had the other car, and then Kia calls me and says, your car's ready, you can come pick it up with your new engine. So praise God, within Amen. 3 weeks, I got my car praise back. God. With a new engine, and I did not have to pay for a rental car. I didn't have to pay for anything except for a couple hoses. So I praise God, I got my car with my new engine all debt-free. So I'm happy about that.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, it is, because if we would have had to get a new engine, it wouldn't have been worth it, because the engine's like way more than a car. So we got a new engine with a new warranty, and praise God.
Zero mileage.
Zero mileage.
Yeah, zero mileage.
Praise God.
Cool. All right. Yep.
Pass it up.
All right.
I like you guys to turn around. Test. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
This past Sunday, while our praise and worship team was in the room, or the upper room, because you got to go 3 steps and up. So anyway, we're being girded up and getting ready to praise the Lord on us with the praise and worship songs. Brother Lambert, he looks at me, he tells me, yeah, Wednesday night is testimony night. So look at him. Yeah, okay. But I had a feeling like he was referring to what happened to my son-in-law, which is a testimony. So I go, okay, I'll be there. So Sunday, Pastor Herman again mentioned, hey, Wednesday is testimony night. Like, oh, it's twice. Oh, it's confirmation. I got to become now. So anyway, this is in regards to my son-in-law. His name is Kevin. And his wife, my daughter, is Nicole. And then I have another daughter, lives in Nanakuli. Her name is Alfie. This was several months ago. So Alfie calls me up and she tells me, hey, Dad, Nicole and Kevin was over here. Oh, nice, good. He said, so what do you guys went go? Holo, holo, and all that stuff. He said, no. Kevin went to see the doctors. Oh, what happened? She's telling me, oh, he went to get an x-ray. And they found a lump or something, size of an egg in the middle of his chest. And Kevin is so scared. So, yeah, Dad. Even when he talks, he's got a really nervous voice. So, Dad, maybe you should go up there. My mother, daughter, guys live up cooler. Maybe you should go up there and go talk to Kevin. I said, oh, yeah, okay. So, my daughter Alfie tell me, oh, Dad, no, tell them I told you, yeah? So, okay. So I really wasn't sure what was going on. So anyway, before I went up, I confronted Pastor Hermie, and I told him what was happening. And I brought this cloth. And first time I ever did that, you know, picked something, a cloth thing. So put the oil on, and Pastor Hermie prayed over the all came into agreement, hey, with the anointing oil and the grace of God, this is the real deal. This is going to work. So amen. As the weeks go by, and I presented the same story with the praise and worship team while we were in the room, and I told them what was happening, and I asked Brother Jaime to lead the group into prayer for healing for my son-in-law. So we did that. So now I'm ready. Okay. So I call up my daughter. Hey, what you guys doing? You working? So, oh yeah, Dad, I'm working. I power on about 4 o'clock. I'll be home about 5. But Kevin's home. All right, Kevin's home. All by himself. Yeah. All the kids went out someplace. Okay. So now it's a one-on-one of me and my son-in-law. So I go up there, and I'm talking to him. And already he went to, he had an MRI. And they said they had a tumor inside. They had to get it out, and medication wasn't going to work. So they had to go open him up. So he told me how they had opened him up. That's another story. Ooh. I'm going to tell you guys what. They cut the bone there over here, and they go all the way down. And they open the wow. Take that thing out. But anyway, so before he went to do the surgery, I gave him the cloth. And I told him about the cloth. And I read the scripture from Mark 25:34 about the issue of blood with the lady. And how she, for 12 years, she was suffering. And he goes, 12 years? Yeah, 12 years. Imagine that. And, you know, she was practically desperate already. But when Jesus came to town, she said, all I got to do is touch his robe and I shall be healed. And she did that. And, you know, you guys know the story. Huh? Jesus felt, oh, like a draw came out of him. And the lady fell to her knees and said, I must be. And so Jesus said, you are healed and your body's made whole. This cloth is like that. You know, it's not the magic cloth like a wand. It's how the lady had faith. I'm just touching it, that cloth like this. And if you believe and you have faith, it'll work for you.
Amen.
So you go, oh. So we prayed. And then next thing you know, my daughter came over. And I still little while. We had something to eat and I left. So weeks go by. He went to the surgery. He told me what happened. All that stuff they cut up. But anyway, I called him up. I said, hey, how you stay? He said, oh, much better. I'm walking around. I do some stuff in the garage. But you got to watch how he lives because he's still mending yet there inside. So he says, oh. So what the doctor said? He said, oh, She said, I'm 91% healed. I go, 91%? Yeah, that, well, unacceptable 91%. We're not going for 91%. So you see, that's what the doctor said. And after the surgery, I mean, after I'm healed up, I got to go. Call that something extra. No, the one they shoot the radiation. Chemotherapy, yes. Chemotherapy. That's what you call it. Okay. So, to me, I tell you again, 91%. Hey, you know, we serve a God. He's 100% with the overflow. I don't know about that, what the doctor is talking to you about that. You know Isaiah 53:1. He said, whose report you shall be, will you believe? And then we do that song up here. You know, now it's playing in my head. I'm trying to think about the song now, but that's the whole thing. See, and he goes, oh yeah. So brother, you just keep on believing what we was talking about. Yeah, maybe the doctor, they have their facts, but God got his, you know, believe in that. You know, he's the same God that rose the dead. So the doctor, they do me they're not right. They're missing him by 9%. So anyway, he's doing well, and I don't know. Plus he smokes cigarettes, yeah. I thought, brother, you better put that stuff down already. It's a smoking up. But anyway, that's my testimony. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, first of all, we could have been out to a nice dinner. It's our anniversary.
Oh,
but we chose
yeah.
to come here. We'll do late dinner later.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And with my clients, oh my gosh, Jesus healed a heart attack client that I had, and coming back soon to me, cancer, this very invasive cancer, rectum and uterus. God healed them. Thank you, Jesus. And stroke. So they're all coming back.
Praise God.
And just receive good pampering and hands-on. So I just thank God. And
He is the only healer.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And, you know, I've been saying this scripture, you know, trust in Proverbs and lean. Trust in me and lean and not on your own understanding. And I used to just say that and say that. And sometimes I had problems trusting God. But I came to a point where he's like, no, either trust him all the way. You can't be halfway. Because what he's done in my life, our marriage, and all the people that we prayed for, just has come through, he's come through, you know, his glory. And I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful. And I'm this other scripture, because I'm making some decisions, and I know he's guiding me. So some important decisions that I've been asked. So I'm leaving my airport job, and because there's some things that needs my immediate attention. So anyway, I'm happy about that. End of this year that I'm done with that. Because there's other doors going to open, but I need to make some really godly decisions, okay? And Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early and diligent shall find me. So I always remind myself, go back to your first love. Every time when I think I'm doing it in my own strength, no, go back to your first love. You say, seek me early, seek me diligently. And I've said, wow, you know, I'm going to write like a love letter or, you know, what you remind me of, Lord. It says, keep your heart open to love and forgiveness, for it is those virtues that I will find my true peace and fulfillment. And you know what? I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And I said, all the decisions, and I said, and then he says, I gave you signs that this past few weeks to remind you of my presence and unwavering support. So it's like, okay, slowly, slowly, just stepping in, you know, and I'm like, not hesitant, not afraid anymore. You know, it's like when Pastor preached about, what are you doing to make a difference out there? You know, use your boldness, you know. Together, we'll conquer any obstacles that come on my way, for my love for you knows no bounds. And, it's only us can limit ourselves. You limit God. So I'm just so, so excited in the future. So anyway, I just thank God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We serve an awesome God, and he's just a God that keeps on giving and giving. And for me, I was having a hard time receiving. But thank you, Jesus. The scripture, Matthew 6:3-3. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And, you know, especially going through losing our home in Lahaina, and everything that comes with it, again, in every circumstance, you know, I learned you need to thank God, praise him. This is not our final destination. That's what I tell my family. In my father's house, there are many mansions. If he were not so, he would not have told us. And he goes and prepares a place for us. But in the meantime, we occupy, and God has been so gracious in providing us more space in my home. it's just overwhelming in receiving all his goodness. And again, you know, there are things that I only think about. I don't say it, but he knows what the need is, what the wants is, and he just continues to bless us. And like today, we went to go and pick up our Thanksgiving meal. Hui Nokiola Pono had pulled my name to give us two free Thanksgiving meals. So we went there to pick it up. And I says, thank you, Jesus. You're so good. I didn't even ask. I just thought about it, and oh, what are we going to do for Thanksgiving? Because we've been so many things been going on. And I checked my voicemail on my phone the other week, and it was the lady from Hui Nokiola Pono. Delphine, we picked your name. Thank you, Jesus. You know? I mean, he just keeps on giving, and I am so grateful. I am so grateful for everything that he has provided. And he always tells me, I do take care of the widows and the fatherless, and that he does. He never fails us, but thank you. And thank you, family, you know, Faith family, for all your support and all your prayers. And God bless you guys. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Amen. Well, I delivered to Delphine's house with FedEx, and I went in, I had delivery for her house one day, and she was showing me everything that she'd been blessed with. And the thing is, she's not even asking for it.
They built a mini house in her backyard, and they're redoing her kitchen. And you know what? She doesn't even ask for it. It's just the blessings are overtaking you. Amen. Yep. Yep. All right. Who else is next?
I'm very thankful for everything. Even when we're being corrected, mostly for the correction because it makes us better. I wanted to make this short, but I want to thank God that I woke up this morning praising and thanking Him, and He reminded me that I was saved when I was 16 years old. And as of today, it's been 60 years since I've been saved. And that's three generations. My son will be, I think my son just turned 57 and Gina 2 years younger. And I'm thinking to myself, God, talk about your faithfulness and the gift of the Holy Spirit to pray in a God-given language anytime, whether loud or softly. God takes it and uses it. I pray about things, and then I don't know what I'm going to face the next day, but I'll have the answer when it's time to address something. And I know it's because that rain in tongues equips us for what's coming down or what we may have to face or endure. And I was doing something today, and it came over the TV, and he was talking about praying in tongues. And he talked about Kenneth Hagin, that his key was he prayed consistently in tongues. You didn't hear it out loud, but you would wonder what was going on because he'd be sitting in a room with a lot of people, but you could see his mouth moving, you know, his lips moving. And he had was Sid Roth. He had the people pray out loud in tongues and then to pray softer and learn how to pray in tongues just between you and him in the spirit. And when he said that, I just had flashes of incidents of that precious gift that God has given to me that has kept me all this time. It hasn't been what I, you know, could think of or work out. It's been his leading, guiding, comforting consistency on God's part. If it was missed, I knew I was the one that missed it, you know. But I do want to thank God that, talk about a keeping power, 60 years. I didn't realize that. My goodness, Lord, you are so good and so faithful. I just thank him for being that. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, I was thinking what I would share to thank the Lord for. And the most important one is, you know, I love when our pastors preach about character, because that is one of my greatest desires to my heart being changed, you know. So I can say this year I am more peaceful. I am more carefree. No, the things that used to bother me, it used to, oh, all is well. I just, all is well. You know, it's like, you know, James mentioned that he wanted to be a more patient by the time of this time of next year. Yeah, I'm way more peaceful this year than last year. Yeah. So, praise God. I mean, okay, let me just read a scripture too.
This is in the Passion. 1 Timothy, 1st chapter, verse 13 and 14. And it says, mercy keeps me. This is Paul talking about now. Even though I used to be a blasphemer, a persecutor of believers, and a scorner of what turned out to be true, I was ignorant and didn't know what I was doing. But verse 14, when I was reading this, is the one that kind of grasped my heart. He says, but I was flooded with such incredible grace. Yeah. I mean, like a river overflowing its banks. Oh, my. Yeah. That's the reason why Paul was able to do what he was able to do, because God had flooded him with grace, like river overflowing its banks. Yeah. And he says, until I was full of faith and love of Jesus, the Anointed One. Isn't that powerful? I mean, I pray this, you know. I pray this, that God would just flood me with His grace, like a river overflowing its banks, God. And it's coming to manifestation, you know, because that peace is already inside of us, right? But the more of the revelation of that is the reason why you get more peace and more carefree, yeah, more joy, yeah. So that's one of my greatest testimony. Thanking the Lord for that. And of course, you know, I did got raised in my job this month. So, yeah, praise God. Amen. So that's it.
Well, good evening, sisters and brothers. I'm so honored to be here tonight. I made a decision that I needed to come, because I appreciate our pastors, the words that goes out. There comes a time where your heart is open and God is, you know, He's by your side and He's waiting. And I've been reading the Word. One morning, I was reading the Word at 3:15 and my phone went ding. I look, it was Pastor sending the message. And I said, Lord, thank you. I'm awake and Pastor is reading, and I've been doing this for the last week. I know that God has something planned for me, a bigger plan than what I ever can imagine. And I've been sticking to the Word. And everybody said, Jenny, where are you? What are you doing? I said, I'm reading the Bible. And I wouldn't go out in a yard or anything. And you know, I was reading about transitioning. I always thought it was when somebody passed away, they use that word. But I found out and learned, the Lord took me there to tell me that transition is your life, your old life. Yeah, give it up and take the new life. And I just cried and fell on my knees and said, Lord, thank you. Well, I always thought that was for the dead, but actually it's our body, our sinful life. To throw it away, it's dead, and live in me. Let my spirit come in you and give you a brand new life. And I've been praying and praying, and I had to come tonight because I feel that, I said, you know, the devil tell me, oh, you go, what do you call that? Go on your phone, you know, but I don't know how to do that anyway. I said, no, devil, I don't know how to do that. I'm not going. I don't care what you say. I got to get in the house of prayer tonight and give this message to my family, because my pastor work hard, pray for all of us, each individual, what we receive, what we take, and you know, and I've been going to transition, and I read, and I want to read this, what I found. It is especially important that we turn to God of our understanding during these times of passage, as me going to my transition, you know, with my husband. And next month he's going to be 1 year. And I know the Lord is telling me it's time for you to rest and let it go and come and do my work. I've been going to the hospital visiting my friend, 80 years old, and I wonder why I went to her house. She wasn't there, wasn't answering phone for 4 days. Then I found out she was taken away because she fell, and she was in a home, a caregiving home. And I found out from the niece that she was in a hospital. So Saturday after prayer, I went up there to find her and said, Lord, please let her be there. I need to find her and pray for her and tell her about Jesus. And praise God, she was there. I had a wonderful visit with her. And I go home and I continue in the prayer. I know that God has a plan for my life. I make a decision that I want that new life. And when I read about that word transition, I was shocked, you know, to think, oh, dear, but Lord, I understand it's my old way of living. All those sadness, all those things I go through, just dead, you know, let them be dead and come alive. The new spirit that God has a plan for me. So pray for me. I love you all. And I was trying to get in touch with brother and sister here to catch a ride because it was dark. And then I said, Lord, I got to go down. And sister didn't call. I please. And I went, go by the door. I look outside. I saw the sun shining. I got in the car and I said, I think sister going to wait for brother downtown when he power work. I got in my car and I came down and here I am. And I said, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. I got to go down and deliver this message. You're going to take me safely and bring me safely home all the way up country. So from the bottom of my heart to our pastors, Pastor Carol and Pastor Herman, and all of you, for the love you have shown me, the love that I've experienced, I'm going to go forward. And I thank all of you for being patient with me. And I thank God that I love to give him praises. And I'm going to surrender my life to him. And you know, I'm going to finish reading this. And allow us the opportunity for a bigger God than the one we once believed in. We can realize that God is not only guiding us through the transition, but is the very force that is bringing about the transition and the resulting transformation. And I'm trusting to God. Pray for me because, you know, the devil couldn't stop me from coming. God opened up a way, and here I am tonight. And then when I leave here, pray for me that I go home safely. I know that I'm never alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Last but not least, I want you to know that I'm so happy I'll be serving the Lord. And I'm part of the Faith Family Fellowship. And I love each and every one of you. May God bless you. And aloha. And I love you all. God bless.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand. Africa.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because it's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give